Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Is happiness found in fame? If so, celebrities would be the happiest people on earth. Instead, many confess to feeling empty and miserable. Are you surprised? Well, today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah considers why the happiest people often lead quiet lives of service, far outside the spotlight. From his series on the Beatitudes, here's David to introduce the conclusion of his message, Happy Are the Humble.
Well, you know, humility is something hardly anyone ever wants to talk about, because as soon as you talk about it, people think you might think you have it, and then you don't. And I've taught some lessons on it from the New Testament. But here's one of the key passages about humility where Jesus teaches us that one key to real joy and happiness is humility. And I've told you before that humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is just thinking of yourself less. And Jesus and Moses and others were humble, and yet they were strong and assertive people. Humility is not weakness. Humility is seeing yourself as God sees you in strength, but also realizing your dependence upon Him. And we're going to talk about that again in just a moment as we finish this first characteristic, this first beatitude. Let me remind you again that tomorrow on the Friday edition of Turning Point, we're going to talk about happy are the hurting. How can you be happy when you're hurting? We'll find out tomorrow. Let's get started now with the last part of Happy Are the Humble. What would be the characteristics of a person who is poor in spirit? Interestingly enough, in the story of the publican and the Pharisee, the richest of the two was the one who was poor in spirit. Tax collectors had great resources, most of it through extortion, frankly, but they were some of the wealthiest people in Jesus' day. The rich man, the publican, he was the one who prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That proves once and for all that poverty of spirit has nothing to do with our outward resources or our material abilities. It's an inward attitude of heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What would you expect to see if you saw someone like that? Well, the first thing I wrote down is that those who are poor in spirit will recognize that they are out of step with the ways of the world. I read the owner of the Chicago Bulls gave a summary statement of the rules governing Michael Jordan. This is what he said. He said, Michael Jordan is living the American dream. He said, the American dream, listen to this now, is to reach a point in your life where you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, and you can do everything that you do want to do. That's the American dream. And I dare say that some of you today are pursuing that dream, trying to get yourself into a place where you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, and you can do everything that you do want to do. No wonder J.B. Phillips decided to coin the Beatitudes for this kingdom. Here are the Beatitudes for this world. Happy are the pushers, for they get on in the world. Happy are the hard-boiled, for they never let life hurt them. Happy are those who complain, for they get their own way in the end. Happy are the blasé, for they never worry over their sins. Happy are the slave drivers, for they get results. Happy are the knowledgeable men of the world, for they know their way around. Happy are the troublemakers, for they make people take notice of them. The Beatitudes of the kingdom of this world. Let me tell you something, my friend. If you live according to the kingdom manifesto of Jesus Christ, even for one day, you will find yourself in conflict with everything that's going on around you. You will feel the tension. You will feel it at the very core of who you are. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm talking about? If you are poor in spirit in the sense that Jesus meant it, one of the first evidences of that will be that you feel like you're walking to a cadence that's different than everybody else's.
You don't have to show up every day and say, I'm going to try to be in tension with everybody around me. It will come naturally to you if you are walking after Jesus Christ. It will be the most natural, normal thing. You will sense that something's out of sync in the world, but you'll have this sweet peace in your heart that you're exactly where you ought to be. Number two, those who are poor in spirit will realize their emptiness apart from God. That's really what it means. Not that you are worthless, but that when it really counts in terms of real life, that God is the key to it, that Jesus Christ is the answer. When Jesus speaks of the poor in spirit, I think he means the opposite of everything that is summed up in the word pride. The poor in spirit is the man who does not boast about his talents or his attainments because he knows he has nothing that he did not receive. If he is gifted, it is because he has been given much. Remember Samson in the Old Testament? You remember him. The haircut that ruined a life. Remember him? Here is Samson standing there in the valley of Sorek, surrounded by the lords of the Philistines. And the Bible says he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. It was not bad enough that Samson lost his power when his hair was cut off, but it was really discouraging to read that he did not understand. He went out as he had gone out before to fight, and he got in the middle of the battle and realized he was powerless. Someone has said that no man is so ignorant as he who knows nothing and knows not that he knows nothing. No man is so sick as he who has a fatal disease and he's not aware of it. No man is so poor as he who is destitute and yet thinks he is rich. That's the pitiable thing about the Pharisees. It wasn't so much what they believed, it was their utter lack of knowledge of how poor they actually were in the sight of God. Jesus gives us a dramatic story about that. He was the greatest storyteller, the illustrator of all illustrators. He told a story about a man who had everything in life. And in a self-satisfied soliloquy, one night this man said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." And Jesus said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." And then, we often skip this, Jesus' addendum to that story was, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Wow. Do you remember the Laodiceans? Some of you who study the New Testament remember that's a church mentioned in the book of Revelation, a church to which John the Apostle wrote a letter. You know, it's possible for a church not to be poor in spirit as well. The Laodicean church was like this, and John wrote this in the power of the Holy Spirit. He said to that church, "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, it's a sad thing when a person is empty and they don't know it. You know, I run out of gas a lot. I need to tell you, I don't watch the gas gauge, and I'm always running out of gas. But you know what? I got out of my driveway, and I looked down at my, I almost pulled back in and said, "Donna, I'm taking your car," but then what would she have done, you know? And so I looked at the gas gauge, and I mean, it wasn't just on empty, it was clear beyond empty, over on the peg. Well, I live at the top of a hill. So blessed is the man who knows his tank is empty. I coasted all the way down the hill. You know, it's hard to steer a car with power steering when the engine's turned off, but I made it. I must have coasted for a mile and a half. And you know what? I had just enough gas to get from where I stopped coasting, and when I pulled in the gas station, it coughed. It is bad to have an empty tank, but it's even worse not to know the tank is empty. You see, what I'm trying to say, men and women, is a person who has poverty of spirit is a person who has the proper assessment of who he is inwardly without God. It is a wonderful thing to know who you are without God, so that you can then find out all you can be with God. A person who does not have a poor spirit, who continually builds himself up and trusts in the outward things of life, is a person who will find it very, very difficult ever to humble himself and come to God seeking grace. Isn't that why Jesus said that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Was he saying that rich people can't go to heaven? No, he was saying that rich people have so many things outwardly to trust in that sometimes they find it very difficult to realize the poverty of their own spirit. And so they go on their way trusting in all the outward things. And before it's too late, they never make a change. Those who are poor in spirit will realize their emptiness apart from God. You know what? That's true before we're saved. It's also true after we're saved, isn't it? I've made an observation, and I wrote it down in my journal, that this whole thing about poverty in spirit is something that grows on us and in us as we get older. You know, it's really tough for a very young person to have that quality about his life. A guy gets out of college, he's got all his degrees, and he's bought into the system, you know, that says if you work hard, you can get to the top. So he charges the marketplace with the enthusiasm that he's going to be number one in whatever field he's chosen to be, and he doesn't need God. But what happens as we get older? You know what happens. You know, you go through this process of realizing that little by little, you aren't in control of all the things in life that you thought you were. Health and financial situations and relationships and all of these things, if you're not careful, they have a way of beating on you until you are reminded that you are not sufficient for these things. Most of us who have any measure of this in our life at all have it because of the circumstances God has used to develop that within us. Tribulation does this and causes us to grow in this way. The third thing I want to say is that those who are poor in spirit will reach out to others with a spirit of love and compassion. If you show me a person who is into himself, he has no time for others. He's really into his own agenda, never has time for relationships, never is building into the life of anybody else. That person has not captured Jesus' words here. You see, if you're into yourself, you will never have time for others. But if you understand where your resources are, you will be sensitive to those around you. I want to give you one more. Those who are poor in spirit will reach their highest joy in serving others. Humility is the key to service. That's why Jesus did what he did when he washed the feet of his disciples. He was giving them a lesson in service. A real servant cares not what the task is, only that it needs to be done. And those who serve are those who have truly found the joy of Jesus' statement concerning the poor in spirit. Philippiansis, a great writer, wrote a book called The Jesus I Never Knew. It's an incredible book. And there's a chapter in this book on the Beatitudes, believe it or not. Somewhere in that chapter, Philippiansis makes this statement. He said, I want you to know that here is something we all will realize to be true. He said, the people that we laud, the people we strive to emulate, the people we feature on the covers of popular magazines are not the fulfilled, happy, balanced persons we might imagine. And I have to stop for a moment and say, every week we have an illustration of that. Philippiansis says, my career as a journalist has afforded me opportunities to interview stars, including NFL football greats, movie actors, music performers, best-selling authors, politicians, and TV personalities. These are the people who dominate the media. We fawn over them, poring over the minutiae of their lives, the clothes they wear, the food they eat, the aerobic routines they follow, the people they love, the toothpaste they use. Yet I must tell you, said Yancey, that in my limited experience, I have found that our idols are as miserable a group of people as I have ever met. Most have troubled or broken marriages. Nearly all are incurably dependent on psychotherapy. And in a heavy irony, these larger-than-life heroes seem tormented by self-doubt. He said, I have also spent some time with servants, people we call servants, like doctors and nurses who work among the ultimate outcasts, leprosy patients in rural India, a Princeton graduate who runs a hotel for the homeless in Chicago, health workers who have high-paying jobs to serve in a backwater town of Mississippi, relief workers in Somalia, Sudan, Ethiopia, Bangladesh, and other repositories of human suffering. The PhDs that I met in Arizona, who are now scattered throughout the jungles of South America, translating the Bible into obscure languages. Yancey said, I was prepared to honor and admire these servants, to hold them up as inspiring example, but I was not prepared to envy them. Yet as I now reflect on the two groups side by side, the stars and the servants, the servants clearly emerge as the favored ones, the graced ones. Without question, I would rather spend time among the servants than among the stars. The servants possess qualities of depth and richness and even joy that I have not found elsewhere. Servants work for low pay, long hours, and no applause, wasting their talents and skills among the poor and uneducated. But somehow, in the process of losing their lives, they find them. The poor in spirit are indeed blessed. I now believe it with all my heart, he wrote. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and they will inherit the earth. What did Jesus mean when he promised us that if we are poor in spirit, we will inherit the kingdom of heaven? Does that just mean we'll go to heaven when we die? Oh, it has to mean much more than that. Let me tell you what I think it means. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. How does the kingdom of God come down among us? I think the next phrase in the prayer tells us how. Listen to it. Thy kingdom come equals thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God comes to be among us. We live within the principles of the kingdom of God, the inward kingdom that Jesus is describing here. That happens when we get to the place where God's will is done in our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. When that happens, the kingdom of God comes to live among us, and we become a part of that kingdom, and we discover the kind of joy that the world will never be able to manufacture or even understand. There is no joy or happiness like knowing in the core of your heart, I am in the center of God's will, doing what God wants me to do, and I love every minute of it. That is the joy about which Jesus spoke. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we're reminded that if we live only for this world, we will be discouraged and filled with despair. Blessed is the man who understands that there is a world beyond this one. And while he will find joy and happiness in living here, it will only be in the measure in which he lives here according to the principles of what is there. Lord, I pray that today as we have talked, the Spirit of God will have worked in hearts. Lord, it's a hard thing, especially for us men, to stand up to the line and say, I got a lot of things in my life, but inside I'm pretty empty. That's where it begins. And thank you, Lord, for telling us that when we're willing to come to that place, we're blessed. That's the first step. We really can't get beyond that until we get there. Lord, there's surely some today who've been on the tram living life in the fast lane, trying to find success and happiness in all the wrong places. And they're worn out and they're tired, and they really don't have a will to go on if there's no more than what they've been able to find. Lord, I pray that they will turn away from the outward look and understand that God in heaven has created them with a God-shaped vacuum in their heart, and that until Jesus Christ is home there, they will never know happiness and joy. Cause them, Lord, to be willing to ask Him to come, to deny themselves and come to Christ. Before we finish our prayer, maybe I could lead you in a simple prayer if that's where you are. Maybe you could say in your own heart like this: Dear God, I just feel so empty inside because I've tried to find happiness in all the outer things of life. And God, today, I admit my emptiness. I admit the poverty in my spirit. I realize I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. So, dear Lord, please come and live within my heart. Please forgive me for my sin and cleanse my life and set up your residence within me. Lord, take away the emptiness I feel with the fullness of your spirit. Cause me to know the joy about which you have spoken in your word, even now, even today. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Father, I know that whoever has prayed that prayer in faith believing, meaning it in their heart, you have heard them. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done or what their experience might be, you have heard their prayer. Thank you for your promise that you will never turn anyone away who comes to you as we have prayed today. Bless and encourage those who have so prayed. Help them to be outward about their commitment and to go on to serve you and to walk with you. In the matchless name of our Savior, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Friends, I hope you're having a good summer. I know it's probably much different than you thought it would be before all of these things started to happen to us in this country. One thing we've learned is this: the one thing that is constant, that doesn't ever change, that's not affected by the newscast, not affected by what happens in the environment, that one thing is the Word of God. And we've had so much delight in sharing the unchanging message of God's Word to all of you who listen every day on this radio station. Hey, we'll see you right here tomorrow. Don't forget to join us on this good station.
The message you just heard came from Shadow Mountain Community Church and Dr. David Jeremiah, the senior pastor. Is God touching your life through Turning Point? Write us about it at Turning Point, Post Office Box 3838, San Diego, California, 92163. Or visit our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's new Bible study, John, the Divinity of Christ. It's part of the Jeremiah Bible Study Series, and it's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also download the free Turning Point mobile app for your smartphone or tablet, or search in your app store for the keywords Turning Point Ministries to access our programs and resources with just a tap. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue How to Be Happy According to Jesus. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.